Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Fantastic. How are you going? I'm sure there's many more who are surviving the season. If you're not, and you find this time of year to be difficult and challenging, can I encourage you to grab the podcast from last week and today and next week and listen to it again as a series. One of the things that I do to feed my own heart and soul, and you really should take responsibility for this in your own life, is I have about half a dozen different teachers and preachers that I enjoy, and I have my podcast set up so that I download them, and I usually download a series. So I'll go for a good long walk with my little thing playing away there, and I'll listen to the whole series, usually three or four messages at a go, and I'll just let that soak into my heart and into my spirit. I'm certainly listening to more preaching than I am preaching, if you get my drift. And I really believe that's something that we should all be doing. And it's available to us. I actually listened to myself preach this week. That was encouraging. And that's a good thing to do if you're a communicator or a public speaker or a preacher like me. It's actually important that you listen to yourself. Otherwise, you haven't got a clue what's going on, and you pick up all the... And actually, it was a good message, I'm telling you. And there wasn't a lot that I would have changed in that one. Some of them, I think, are dogs, but most of the time, I think they're pretty reasonable. And it was just good to do that. But I encourage you to do that. If you don't know how to do that, then go and see the people up at our production desk there, and they'll help you. I'm sure they're happy for me to have just referred 100 or so people to them to sort out their podcasting. But you know, they produce it all, and they do it for a reason, so that we would all be blessed and be helped. And so don't think that you just listen to a message once and that's it, because every preacher knows that, you know, just listening to one message has a very little effect on people's lives. But if you will take that, and if you'll take some notes, and if you maybe listen to it again, that's why in our life groups we discuss that and we apply that, because we know that we need multiple impacts onto us in order to get something into our heart. So I do encourage you to do that and get stuck into that. So we're doing the series on surviving the silly season. Have you ever thought about what makes it silly? We do. Thank you, Pam. That's exactly right. It's not because it's Christmas and Jesus came into the world. That's not silly. It's not because we give gifts to each other and celebrate family. That's not silly. What makes it silly is people get to be silly. Now, yesterday we were helping one of the couples here to move some of their gear around and moving house, and I had the pleasure of driving our bus loaded up with all sorts of stuff through Corrimal. And I've got to say, the silly season was in full swing as I'm trying to drive that large vehicle through people who are doing their Christmas shopping. And it never ceases to amaze me that everybody who's out to be a blessing to everybody in their world, they're going to buy this for Aunt Sally and they're going to buy that for Uncle Bob. And everyone's got an Aunt Sally and Uncle Bob, you know that. And as they're going around doing that, there's not a lot of blessing happening on the roads or in the queues or in the shopping centres. And it always intrigues me how we're set about this season of joy and thanksgiving, and there's not a lot of that going on in the hearts. It's one of those times of year where everybody should be letting each other into the trap. Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah, go ahead of me. I'd love you. That'd be wonderful. It's the season to be jolly. Yeah, everyone just laughing on the road, having a great time. That's what it should be, shouldn't it? What makes the season silly? We do. We make the season silly as we set about trying. I've got to do what I've got to do. I've got 10 Christmas presents to buy and get out of my way because I'm buying it to be a blessing to everybody. I mean, it's just that's what makes it silly. And so we make the season silly. And last week we were talking about having our security in God, knowing who we are. Now, that doesn't mean that you then have authority and you can tell everybody else off because you know who you are. No. What that means, the ultimate of being secure in who you are, is that you're then able to serve other people. And the example we looked at last, I'll give you the scriptures that we started with again. A lot of scriptures today, a lot of Bible references. So if you're taking notes, just note them down as we go. But the key is graciousness. We talked about this last week. We'll talk about it again today. I do want to say, though, I started all of that by saying the season, silly season series. I'm excited because then we're going to start the summer series. And I was talking to some of the guys about the summer series. And what we're going to do is actually look at refreshing and renewing. And I think that's going to be really good, actually. So starting the week after Christmas will be the summer series. And it'll all be about refreshing. Does that sound all right? You know how usually we get to that New Year thing and it's all about whip, crack the whip and get the, you know, the New Year's resolutions. How many know New Year's resolutions are pretty much a waste of time? But it's good, you know, have a few resolutions, a good thing. So I thought what we'll do this year is we'll actually just have a whole refreshing, renewing time of focus. And so we'll just come to church, come relaxed, ready to just be refreshed, be renewed. Probably get challenged along the way because God does that, but it's all right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. The key is graciousness. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 14, verse 19. Make every effort to do what leads to peace. Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And last week we talked about how that identity as children of God is what actually enables us to do the other stuff, to be gracious and peaceful and all that kind of thing. So, having got that under our belt, we're going to move on today to look at being gracious. Now, when we looked at that thing in John 13 and the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, I looked up another thing during the week just to follow up on that. Have a look at Luke 22 and verse 24. There's a great little thing here. This is at the same time, all right? So this is Luke's record of the same event that where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And in Luke 22, verse 24, this is, they're having the meal together. We don't know whether this is before or after Jesus washed the feet. We're hoping that this is before, because if it was after, it'd be very sad. But in Luke 22, verse 24, it says a dispute. This is while they're having the meal. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. So here they are arguing together about who's supposed to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Reminds me of Christmas dinner, doesn't it? And you gather with your family and try to outdo each other. Who's got the best meal? One of my wonderful children, we had Christmas yesterday because Luke and Kia are going overseas. And so we had early Christmas and one of my wonderful children, what do you call that? A children-in-law, a child-in-law. Anyway, one of my wonderful children did a mango crumble. Mango crumble. Oh, come on. Winner, winner, chicken dinner right there, okay? And do you come? And so I made the comment, oh, that's the winner. And of course, that was taken nicely by the rest of my children and who had also brought stuff. But I just wanted to reconfirm here today, that was the winner yesterday. And just wanted to reconfirm that. You'll make sense later on as I talk about not taking offense. You'll get why I'm talking like that. I give my family plenty of opportunity to exercise the scripture. And I just try to give everybody in my life, I give opportunity to be gracious all the time. Heather gets the most. That's why she's the most forgiving and gracious person in the church. Yes, I know who you all are in the church because I give plenty of opportunity for that to be exercised. And you know, do we come to the Christmas dinner? They're coming to the dinner here, the fellowship. It's not Christmas, but it's pretty close. And they're coming to the, because they didn't have Christmas yet, you see. You're with it, aren't you? They could have for like 30 years or so if they wanted to, but they could have had. So Jesus' birthday, I guess, would have been the Christmas time, but they weren't doing that at this point, but they were celebrating. So they were coming together and they were arguing over who was the greatest. And Jesus, in the context of that, knowing who he was the greatest by far, says, I'm among you as one who serves. So if you get that identity thing sorted out, then the rest of it's going to work out okay. So get last week's message and have a re-listen to that and have a think about it. But come with me today to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. I want us to understand what it means to be humble and gracious and serving each other, because that is the real secret to surviving this season, is to get a gracious heart and a gracious spirit and to be able to actually live the way that Jesus intended for us to live. And in Philippians chapter 2, it says this, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. What's he saying? He's saying if you've been changed at all by your relationship with God, if Jesus means anything to you, if he's had any impact upon your life, I don't know whether that's full of hope or full of unbelief. But anyway, he's saying, if you've got any of that going on, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And it goes on to talk about how he gave himself for us. To me, that's the secret of this season. It's actually about saying, it's not about me. I don't have to win. I don't have to perform. I don't have to do anything particularly. I just need to be gracious. If I can just learn in this season just to be gracious. If I haven't got a lot of money, I don't have to buy all the best gifts and all that sort of stuff. I don't have to perform. I don't have to have the best dish at the Christmas meal. I don't have to please all the people around and all their expectations. I don't need to do any of that. All I need to do is just love people and be gracious. If I would just learn to do that, then I would become the person that people actually want to hang around. Because everybody else is being a mongrel at a time when we're supposed to be nice. Okay, so you don't want to hang around that person who's just being horrible when it's time to be nice. But the person who's always nice, always gracious, always kind, always loving, always caring, that's the person that you want to hang around. Isn't that right? And this is the secret of being like that, is to say, I need to be more like Jesus at the time when we celebrate his birth. That wouldn't be a bad idea. And so I want to come to it today, and I want us to think about the actions that represent what it means to be a Christian who is settled in your identity and is actually willing and able to serve others, to be humble and to be gracious. Let's have a look at what those things are. Could have chosen a whole lot of things, but I chose three things which I think are pretty much the essence of what it takes. If we can get these under our belt, we'll probably do okay in this sort of season of pressure and stress, etc. The first one, possibly the most important, but the first one, words that bring life. Words that bring life. I wasn't going to use the reference today, so it won't come up, but the Apostle James talked about taming the tongue. He said that nobody can tame the tongue. He said that it is set on fire by hell. Now, some of you married people, you know this already. You know, as you think about the conversations you've had with your wife or your husband, yeah, I can understand that. Some of you people who aren't yet in that intense relationship, oh, I don't know, there's tongue set alive by hell. I'm not experienced. Some of the young people here that are not yet in that sort of intense relationship, I don't think I understand why that tongue is set afire by hell. But those of us who've been married for a while, we understand about that. Is anybody, that's a small wave response. Not a big one, James. Get it down low, mate. Oh, you probably could have just done an eyebrow, you know. I would have understood. The tongue is set on fire by hell. Has anybody ever said something they totally regret and they understand, oh, where did that come from? And James said the tongue is set on fire by hell and nobody controls it. And when we read that, we'll go, yeah, I think you're right, James. I think that's exactly the way it is. That's how I function. And so the first thing I want us to get a hold of, if we're going to serve other people, survive this season and survive with our relationships intact, you know that this is the time of year when there are most domestic arguments. This is the time of year when most families break up. This is the time of year when all of those issues in family life come to the surface and people feel free to rip into it. And it's just crazy. This is the way we should be all the time, what I'm talking about here today. We should be all the time gracious and kind, but particularly in times of stress. Don't take your moment of stress as being the time when you're going to speak out all that rotten stuff that's going on. Good lesson for life. If you're in a time of stress, don't speak out of that stress. Don't say things that you think. Just take that moment. Some people I know have got hardwired mouths. You know those people? Hardwired. I don't mean they're wired shut. They probably should be. I mean that they're hardwired from brain to tongue. And it's like, if I think it, I say it. There it is. Bang. It's out. And I just encourage people all the time in all of my relationship counseling and preparation, all that, put some sort of circuit breaker in there. Just take a moment and think about what you... Have at least like a 5-second gap between what you think and what you say. And in that 5 seconds, think about it before you speak it out. Amen? Is it right? I mean, that's what the Bible's telling us and teaching us. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace. How often should it be full of grace? Always. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I've often wondered what that seasoned with salt actually means. It's a very strange expression. I have this image, because I'm a fairly image sort of thinker, I have this image of someone about to say something and they sprinkled salt on their tongue. And probably if you're one of those hardwired people, maybe carry some salt around with you. And when you're about to say something stupid, just throw the salt in your mouth. That'll help you to realize that how bad that thing you're about to say really was. And maybe you'll stop. I don't know what seasoned with salt means. Someone will tell me later who'll look it up on the internet. And that'll be okay. But I think about Jesus saying that we are salt and light. I think about the transformative power of salt. I guess it relates to that kind of thing. How Jesus has made a transformation of us. And if we would season our speech with the transformative power of Jesus, then maybe that would... See, what I don't know is actually better than what you think you know. Okay, so just get that one. That's for some people out there. But seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone, all right? Be gracious and kind, just like I was then. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That's a good little rule, isn't it? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, or mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. There's so much in that scripture that it may benefit those who listen. It's focused on other people, not on myself, and there's a grace test. Am I going to be a blessing to the person I'm talking to? It's a great test. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. How good is that? Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I would like to propose a grace test. I just would like to propose that we would have a grace test on our words. Wouldn't that be a good thing? If everybody you spoke to in your life, if they would have a grace test, if they would just have something on their mouth or on their brain that would just put everything through the sieve of grace and would say, the only things that make it out of my mouth are those things that are going to be gracious and helpful to the people I'm talking to. Wouldn't that be great if everybody in your life, everybody that spoke, all those idiots that said all those stupid things to you all the time, if they would all just have that grace test? Maybe you could develop a grace filter and just slap it on their face. I mean, maybe you could get, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? It's not about what they're all doing, is it? I need to have that grace filter on my own mouth, on my own thoughts. I filter my thoughts through the grace of Jesus. How would he speak to somebody? He'll speak straight. He'll speak firm. He'll speak challenge. But it will always come from a place of love and grace and a desire for your betterment. Most of our negative words don't come from a desire for someone else to be blessed and bettered. They come from a place where we just want to have a go. And we've had enough, and I'm up to here with this, and now I'm going to let you have it. Can I tell you, that's not gracious or loving. Neither. We need to resolve those things in our heart first. And then if there's a need for me to say something challenging to somebody, let it come from a place of grace and love and a desire for their betterment. Would that be all right? A grace test, a grace filter. Maybe we'll wear some of those next week instead of the normal masks that we wear. Number two, some people got that one. I'll just throw them out there. Just for you. I just like to help you. Deeds that bless. Deeds that bless. All right? Words that bring life. Deeds that bless. Here, I want us to have a look at Romans chapter 14, one of our peace and grace and all that scriptures that we've had already. And Romans chapter 14, verse 19. I'll have to look it up because I didn't mark it. I normally mark them. Romans chapter 14. We could read it off. Maybe we should read it off the board. Off the board. Romans chapter 14. Fantastic. What verse did I say? You should know. Come on, it's written up there for you. If you're not participating there, it's just because you're stubborn. Because it's written for you. I've already said it. You're just either not listening or you're not going to help me out. What verse did I say? That's a little bit better. All right. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And then it goes on. It says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. Amen. But it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. The context of this is people saying you can eat that, you can't eat that, all the laws and the rules. And what Paul's saying to the church, he's saying, hey, do stuff that blesses other people. Don't do something because you think you can. I've got every right to say that and do that. I've got every right to do whatever I want to do. I am free in Christ and I can do whatever I want. See, that attitude is only halfway there. That's sort of the little child of the kingdom of God that thinks I can do whatever I want. They've grabbed a hold of freedom without grabbing a hold of responsibility. And that's what discipleship's all about, is going from a place where I know that I'm free, I know that I'm at liberty, and now I'm going to serve somebody else. Now I'm going to help somebody else. Now I'm going to do stuff that blesses others because I'm free. No, I don't have to do the stuff that I want to do all the time. Amen. In verse 13 of that same passage, it says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Quit judging other people. Get your heart right before God. Quit judging other people and only do those things which are going to be a blessing to the people in your life. That's not a bad rule, is it? That sounds like a law of love to me, caring for others. Now, I've got a YouTube clip here, which is like, it's an ad from the TV, which I hope is going to work for us. And I just want the first 10 seconds. You should recognize it. It's going to come up, I'm hoping.
Great. We'll see you guys to Sabin.
Oh, and don't bring a thing.
Don't bring a thing.
Sweet.
We have to bring something.
We so do.
Okay, that's all I want. So have you seen that ad? I just love that. The reason I love that ad is it, apart from being completely derogatory of men and husbands, which is just standard, you know, for all media, is fathers, husbands, they're idiots, you know, we all know that. Every woman in the place goes, oh, they're not sure what to say to that. And some said amen, though. We've got our eyes on those people. Someone marked them off. And it's so good because his immediate response, we don't have to bring anything. Oh, sweet. Because he's thinking, I don't want to bring anything. I don't, what a hassle. Got to think about, if I've got to bring something, then I've got to think about that other person. I've got to think about what they want. I don't know what they want. The ad goes on and they bring, in his mind, he's playing through all these things. They bring in these stupid stuff. Got a big hunk of meat. How big's your barbecue? You remember the ad? And you know, all that, because in his brain, he's thinking, oh, I can never figure out what to get. Because, oh, sweet, I don't have to bring anything. And then also, many life lessons. The first is, your wife's always right. Okay, so because she says we have to bring, oh, we so do. I mean, so this, he's got the second part right. So there's a lot of life lessons, all right? Your wife is always right. Don't speak what you really think straight away. Just think about it for a moment. And then when your wife corrects you, change immediately, because that's the best thing to do to keep a happy life, you know. Just change immediately, yes. Even if you don't believe your wife is right, yes, dear, that's right. And you can sort out later on whether it's right or not. I mean, just, so there's a whole lot of life lessons coming out of that little clip there. I don't know who wrote that and prepared that, but they understand life. All right. But what I like about it so much is that this guy has this immediate response of how good is it that I don't have to do anything. And I think that that reflects what's natural in us. I would rather just do what I want to do. I'd rather not help that person because that would be a hassle. I'd have to think about them. I'd have to change what I'm doing. And I'd have to, you know, it would just be easier if I didn't have to do anything to help anybody else. And I don't know about you, but I think that pretty much reflects. And we've been talking a lot about how our community is so hectic and we're working and, you know, we're like second or third on the work hours. It's so crazy. We have so much and yet we're right up there. We work more than people who are poor. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. And our life is so pressured and stressed. And I think that causes so much of our problems. And then we look at, so we think about, I've got to bless somebody. I've got to do something to help somebody else. I've got to do something to be a blessing. That is such a hassle. And you know what? We've got to get over it. We've got to start living life saying, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? It all comes. That's why last week I talked about being secure in who you are, knowing that God is going to look after you. Because this is actually about seeking others first and letting God take care of the rest. And you can't do that unless you come from a place of security in the blessing of God. When you're secure in the blessing of God, then it's okay to bless somebody else because God will look after me. But if you're not secure in the fact that God's going to look after you, then it's going to be incredibly hard for you to bless somebody else. So listen to that from last week and get it stirring in your heart. Deeds that bless. Words that bring life, deeds that bless. And then the third one, a heart that takes no offense. Oh, now you understand why I've been giving you so much opportunity to take offense. Just trying to help you out, a bit of discipleship along the way. A heart. Next time you have that argument with your wife, just tell her, I'm trying to help you to grow. And that'll work. When your wife's upset with you, just say to her, use the word sister. It's always good to use the word sister when you're going to give that bit of education to your wife. When you've done something wrong, you know you've done something wrong, and your wife is having a go at you, you say, sister, I was just trying to help you grow in the Lord. It'll work every time. It's just... Yeah, write it down. A few of the young guys are writing that down, much to their detriment. Not to worry. Can I say that? So, a heart that takes no offense. Can I just identify a truth that we all know? People are offensive. Yep. People are offensive. You're offensive. Sorry about that, Jess, but you're offensive and I'm offensive. He's offensive. No. We're all offensive. Yeah, have you noticed that? I walked past somebody. There's actually the guy who was stacking shelves in one of the supermarkets during the week. And he walked past us once. I was out there shopping with Heather and Bronwyn. And walked past us. And someone reminded me, before that reminded me, because I was talking to Tony Higgs. We'll do it right now. I was talking to Tony during the week. And he went out shopping with his wife. And I nearly killed him because his back is so sore. He didn't tell her, but he told me. Probably shouldn't have done that. And Tony's having his operation this Wednesday. So Tony and Annette, who are in Thailand, he's back. He's having a bit of a gouge out of one of his vertebrae. That's happening this Wednesday. So I'm going to take a moment right now. We're going to pray for Tony. Father, we thank you for Tony and Annette. We thank you for the incredible blessing that they are. Amazing blessing to us and to your work in the world, particularly in southern Thailand. Incredible blessing and training others to reach out to Muslim communities. And we thank you for them. And we know that none of that is needed for you to touch them and bless them. We know that you love them and your grace is sufficient for them. We pray for Tony that you heal him and you release him and you bless him, even that he would be healed before that surgery. If that's not the case, then within the surgery, there's blessing and his freedom comes to him to continue to serve you and honor you. And so we lift him up for you now in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. Pray for him this week, please. Okay, put that in your smartphones or your diary or whatever. And particularly on Wednesday, pray for Tony to be healed. But that reminded me about the shopping. And as we were going shopping, this guy walked past us who was stacking shelves. And he'd never heard of deodorant. I could tell. Man, the guy reeked. I mean, it was pungent. I wanted to carry an air freshener and just... And he walked past and I noticed, oh, wait, what's that? Oh, that's that guy. All right. And then he came back the other way and these two didn't even notice. I don't know. They got colds or something. I don't know. And he came back the other way and I went, oh, there it is again. And it made me think as I was thinking about it afterwards, I was thinking, people are just offensive. Just offensive. They stink. You know, and this guy had never heard of a shower. Obviously, the water was out of his house, and no one had ever told him about deodorant. No one said, look, you're going to do that, all that packing of the shelves. You're going to stink, you know, put on some deodorant. Nobody cared enough. I nearly cared enough to tell him. But nobody cared enough to tell. Do you know what I'm saying? But, you know, if you and I, if we were to not have a shower for a couple of days and do a bit of work, and, you know, you would stink. I know it's hard to believe. I would stink after 5 minutes of work. And the truth is, everybody's offensive. Everybody stinks. Everybody thinks the bad things and wants to say the bad things. The only difference is some people have learnt to think it and not say it. And the really holy people have actually had God help them not even to think it. They're the really holy people. They're the gurus up on the mountain. But most of us have just learned not to say it, but we're all thinking it, all right? People are offensive. And so I want you to bear that in mind for a while. That doesn't justify anything, but people are offensive. And then let's have a look at this, what the scripture says, how to deal with that. Romans 12, verse 17. These are the scriptures that we've been looking at. Romans 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. People are offensive and you will be offended and you will have problems. And God says, leave that to me. Leave that to me. You're not equipped to deal with it. Leave it to me. Don't take offense. Just let it slide. Let it go. Have a look. Come on, the scriptures keeps going on here. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and look at this, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Then it goes on to say, see that no one is sexually immoral or godless. So it's those two things. It's talking about seeking peace and it's talking about living holy. And when it talks about seeking peace, what does it say? Don't let bitterness take root in your heart. So when it's talking about seeking peace with other people, when it talks about keeping that peace, what it's saying is don't take offense. Don't grab the hold of that and let it fill your heart, because that's going to wreck you and wreck other people. Really important scripture, that one in Hebrews. The root of bitterness is a terrible thing in people's lives, and it takes hold and it wrecks them. People are offensive, but we've got to learn not to take offense. So important. So important in the church. So important in outside the church and people that we want to reach out to. Don't take offense. Don't take it on board. Can I say it again? Don't take it on board. I know many of, as I'm talking to you, I know that we're all replaying stuff where we've taken offense. Some of us are sitting offended here today with somebody, maybe with me, God forbid. But people are sitting offended, and God says, don't take offense. Just don't do it. If you're looking for a perfect person, you'll never find them. Heather thought she'd found that, but about 15 years into the marriage, realized it wasn't true. It took a long while, I'm telling you, but can't find the perfect. You're not going to find. People are not going to be like that. Nobody is ever. Don't take offense. I want to read you, just finish up with two scriptures of wisdom from the Old Testament. One from King Saul, who when offered the whole world by God, God says, you can have anything you like. Saul said to him, I want wisdom. I want wisdom. He said, give me wisdom. And then he wrote some scriptures, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes in particular, wisdom. If you read Ecclesiastes, and I encourage you to do it, read it from the perspective of an incredibly wealthy man who is not perfect and has made all sorts of mistakes, incredibly wealthy, incredibly wise, but still human. And if you read it from that point of view, you can learn a whole lot, because he understands life. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21. Do not pay attention to every word people say. That's a great little verse, isn't it? Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. How many of you have heard your servant cursing you? Come on, wives, you must have heard it by now. If you haven't heard your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. That's a great little understanding of life, isn't it? We will all want to curse somebody sometime, and people will want to curse us. And he says, don't pay attention to it. People say when someone's angry, they'll say what they think. That's like saying when someone's drunk, they'll say what they think. That's not true. Drunk people say stupid stuff all the time, and so do angry people. And they say things they don't really mean all the time. And what he says, look, don't pay attention to everything that people say. Just don't do it. Just don't go down that road. And from Leviticus, when God was setting up his own people and how they should live. And let me just note here, when you look at the Old Testament law, there's two kinds. There's ceremonial laws that Jesus fulfilled, and they don't operate anymore. That's why we can eat pork and all that kind of stuff, because that's ceremonial law, okay, and that was fulfilled in Jesus. And then there's moral teaching and moral law, and that still has effect because it's still just as true today as it was then. And Jesus fulfilled that, of course, as well. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, we see an example of a moral law. And it says, do not, Leviticus 19, 18. I know it's written for you. I'm just helping the short-sighted. Leviticus 19, 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. What an amazing statement to make. Could you imagine if our parliament legislated that? Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against any other Australian. If they're a foreigner, go for your life. But if they're an Australian, not really. It's a joke. I know nobody laughed, but it was a joke. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. And I'm interested that God tags this one. He doesn't always do this, but on this command, God tags it and he says, I am the Lord. He says, don't bear a grudge, don't seek revenge, I am the Lord. And I think that's because he knows how hard that is. And he says to his people, if you would recognize me as your Lord, then don't seek revenge and don't bear a grudge against anyone. Let it go. Let me deal with it. Can you see why last week we talked about being secure in God? Because if you're secure in God, then you don't have to win everything and you don't have to have your way and you can trust God to sort it out. But if you're not secure in God, then you'll always be trying to sort your own stuff out and you'll do all these things I've been saying not to do today. You won't have words that bring life. You won't have deeds that bless, and you will be taking offense all the time because you're not secure in your walk with God. But the more secure we are in God, the more we can speak words that are bringing life to other people. We can do things that bring a blessing, and we can exercise some restraint where we don't bear grudges against people. If you're bearing a grudge against someone today, I want to save your life here today. If you're bearing a grudge today against somebody, let it go right now. And I do mean right now. When we pray in a minute, you give it to God. Don't take it back. You give it to God and say, God, you sort that out. Don't say, God, please smite them on the head. Don't pray like that. The best prayer is, God, please save them and change them and help them. That's if you've got to pray anything for them, pray that. If you can't come to that, then just simply give it up to God. Say, God, you deal with it because I'm not dealing with it very well. Is that all right? If you've got a grudge, if you've got a fence against maybe somebody in the church here today, you've got a fence against somebody, give it up. Let God deal with it. You can still go and sort things out with people. Jesus tells us how to do that. You can do that when you need to, and you should, and do it properly. But the most important thing is to give it up to God. Say, God, you take it because I'm not dealing with it real well myself. Some of you have got grudges against family members you're going to see in the next couple of weeks. And God would say, give up the grudge. Give it up. Let it go. Let it go. You say, oh, but they hurt me. Of course they did. People are offensive. You hurt them, they hurt you. Who cares? God says, give it up. Let me deal with it. And you know what? You will become the loving person in your family. And maybe they're all, you know, maybe some of them who don't know God are actually more loving than you are. And it would actually help them if you were a bit more loving. But maybe some of them don't know God and they're not very loving and caring and forgiving at all. And your example might actually be a witness to the grace of God. I don't know what situation you're in. What I do know is what God says. Don't bear a grudge. Give it up and let him take care of it. Amen? Yeah. Helpful? Yeah. Simple stuff. Put a grace filter over your mouth. Think about blessing other people and what actions would actually bless other people. And just don't take offense. Just don't take offense. Let it go, let it go, let it go. You might need to let things go every minute of every day because you're an offendable person. But learn not to be offendable quite so easily and just get rid of it every time it comes up and grow. Amen? Let's stand together as we pray today. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your incredible grace that none of the stuff that I've talked about today we have any chance of doing on our own. We might do some of it. We might do some of it some of the time, but we're definitely not going to do all of it all the time. We're going to fall short on this stuff all the time. And we recognize that. And we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We recognize that we have been forgiven, that we have been blessed, and that you have spoken words of life over each one of us. And we need it so much. And just like Saul of old, we understand that we've spoken horrible things about people. And so we should really expect they would speak horrible things about us, and it would happen. And Father, we pray that you, by your grace, would strengthen us and enable us, that we would be people who speak life, who bring blessing, and who don't keep grudges. And right now, we want to give up any grudges to you. Right now, Lord, we just give it to you. That person who hurt us, that person who offended us, Lord, we just want to give it to you. We're not dealing with it well. We want to give it to you. Father, you sort it out. God, you sort it out. We're not going to keep thinking on it. We're not going to try to do anything to hurt them. We're not going to try to get even. We're not going to try to square the odds. We're just going to give it up to you right now. You deal with it, Father. And Lord, our highest prayer is that they would be blessed and saved and changed, so that they wouldn't be the same person, the same as we need to be changed, that they would be changed as well. So we give it to you deliberately today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As I've been sharing today, while we're in an attitude of prayer, you may not know the grace of God in your life. You may not have made that connection with Him. Understand that Jesus came to die for you. He came as the Son of God to bring you back into relationship with God. And that is available for you today, but only through Jesus. And so we're going to pray very simply, asking God to forgive us for our sin because of what Jesus has done for us. And if you're ready to pray that way today, then you join us as we pray. We're all going to pray together. We do it all the time, but we're going to pray together so that you can make that decision to be right with God. Let's all pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.